Well, let's turn this afternoon to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I mentioned this morning we hope to speak on around the subject in times like these. It was, her name was Ruth Cy Jones. Ruth Cy Jones lived in the 1940s and she was a hymn writer. She had a gospel program, her and her husband, in Cleveland, Ohio. It's the middle of the Second World War, and as they say, word coming across from Europe was not very good. Casualty lists, we think of the poor, slow progress of the Allied troops moving across Europe, and the supplies were lacking, and living was getting under considerable strain. And she, one of the hymns she wrote simply says, "In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need the Bible." And basically that's the kind of thoughts we'll have this afternoon as we get into it. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says there, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power, and from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. As Jannes and Jambres have resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, disproved concerning the faith. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all as theirs also was. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." The Lord will have a blessing, the reading we've taken from His Word this afternoon. Let's just pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful this afternoon that we indeed have a revelation from Thyself. This book, which we call the Bible, is how You have communicated Yourself through Your Son to the world. And so, our Father, we thank Thee that as the lady many years ago wrote in that hymn, "In times like these, you need the Bible." Father, as we look around us today, I think truly we can say also in times like these, times which indeed are around us today, we truly need the Word of God. But first of all, we thank You, she said, "In times like these, you need a Savior." And we thank Thee, Father, for that Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that we believe all of us here have come to find Him and accept Him as our Savior, the only Savior from sin. And so, our Lord, as we uphold Him today, as we read Thy Word and study it together very soon, we ask that You'd open it to us. And, Father, encourage us that in times like these we might go forth, even with the Word of God, which is the only way and by which men will ever find out about Yourself. Father, thank You once again for the Word. Thank You for those who indeed give their lives, that we today may have it in our language, and pray that we may uphold it and even be faithful to it. Just now, Lord, draw near. May Thy Spirit be with us. He will be the one who will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, because we ask it in His name alone. Amen. As just said, that Ruth Cy had a gospel program on a Cleveland radio station. And during the World War II, she wrote that hymn, which has become perhaps well known to us. "In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need a Savior." In times like these, she also wrote, "You need the Bible. In times like these, oh, be not idle. be very sure your anchor holds and grips within the solid rock. As we look around us today, and we, I think, refer to this morning, things are very uncertain. Things are almost at a situation of total disaster in our world. But it's not only in the world, but in different places. Gail and I have the opportunity of going to New Life Prison Ministries 2 days a week. We mark the courses, the correspondence courses. Gail marks ones which are on the computer, and I have the opportunity to mark the navigation courses, which is written answers. There are many different answers you get when you read them, but in one I find that in navigation book number 2, a prisoner is asked to speak about before he came to Christ, when he came to Christ, and since he came to Christ. Some of them leave it empty because they're not saved. Others will write a few words. But a young man whose name was Trent, this week in one of the courses I answered, he said he had got into trouble in his life. All through his early life, as a childhood and up, he began to get into sin. And of course, it got worse and worse, and he ended up in jail because of drugs. He said, eventually I ended up in prison for selling drugs. I started reading the Bible. I have read lots of books in jail, but the Bible was more than just a book. What a statement. The Bible was just more than just a book. I couldn't get enough of it. I didn't understand a lot of it, but the seed was planted in me. I know my sins are now forgiven, and I may still be in jail, but the burden has been lifted from me. I've repented from my old ways. I trusted in Jesus and believe he died for my sins, and everyone else also. He is with me now in this life and will be with me in the life to follow for eternity. Words of testimony of a man who was incarcerated in one of the jails here in Canada. The Word of God is not bound. The Word of God is free. We look at the Family Bible Hour and the work that Ron Hughes has been doing down through the years, and now Bobby Halleck will be taking over as president of Family Bible Hour. One time, the radio stations were the main source of getting the gospel out. The Word of God was preached. But Ron had a vision when he came into Family Bible Hour that the people of the world could be reached by other means. And he started an internet ministry, and that he has been proven to be true. An internet ministry, and the Word of God goes into many, many countries now. But in times like these, we need the Bible. We need to remember that. We look at what Paul had to say to Timothy. He said, in the last days, perilous times will come. The last days, I believe, in the scriptures are not just today. I think perhaps if we were to look at the Word of God and find that really the term used would be the end times, because many of us believe that we are in the end times. But the last days are the days from Pentecost, I believe, right through to the rapture. And so why does the Apostle Paul say these things about the last days? It's a very important verse further down, and he says, but evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. In other words, since the time of Pentecost, right down through the years, there's always been people with these characteristics. Some established it, some made it worse and worse and worse. But what Paul is saying here, he said, these are the characteristics of evil in the days between Pentecost and the rapture. But he says during that period of time, it'll get worse and worse and worse. You know, I think he said recently somewhere, that's the bad news today, isn't it? We're living at a time when things are bad, but we're living in a time when things are going to get worse. We find also it says that here that in the last days, men will be lovers of their own selves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despiser of goods, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness and denying its power thereof. Down through the years, there's always been people like this. But down through the years, it's got worse and worse, and it's getting worse. And I don't need to give you any examples. We know it today. You live, watch your telephone news, you read your newspapers across the world. And these things are just coming out more and more in the lives of politicians and the lives of people. Perilous days. Days that are difficult to handle. From day to day now, we don't know what's going to happen. And sometimes someone has said that, I really don't understand what's happening. Lots of us don't understand what's happening. But as I said, I think earlier, God is in control. And he is the one who knows exactly what's happening. He knows why these people are saying these things. He knows why these things are happening. But they're difficult to understand, aren't they? Days of perplexity. There's confusion around us. Days of permissiveness. There's a looseness of moral behavior in our world today. Days of persecution. We don't have that here in North America, but across the world today. I think we're somewhere in Africa or Nigeria over the last month. I forget, I think over 200 Christians have been put to death. We don't know nothing about that, but it is happening in the world today. Days of perversion. There's misapplication. There's people leading other people astray in many ways. And so in times like these, even as Ruth Kay said, we need the Bible. Hymn writer in a hymn book said, Holy Bible, book divine, precious treasure thou art mine. Mine to tell me where I am, mine to tell me what I am. Mine to chide me when I rove, mine to show a Savior's love. Mine through him to guard and guide, mine to punish or reward. Mine to tell the joys to come and the rebel sinner's doom. O thy holy book define, precious treasure thou art mine. The word of God, the Bible. I think it was Voltaire said that within 100 years from his life, that the Bible would be no longer, the Christianity would be forgotten. And Voltaire died in 1778. And other people have predicted that. They said Christianity will disappear. The Bible will disappear, but it still with us, isn't it? Think of that hymn or that poem that was written a number of years ago. And simply it was said, I'll just get it here in a moment. And it says to us in a very real way what it's like. So last eve I paused beside the blacksmith's door and heard the anvil ring and the final vespers chime. And looking in, I saw upon the floor old hammers worn with beating years of time. How many anvils have you, said I, to wear and batter in those arms so? Just one, said he, and then with trembling eyes, the anvil wears the hammers out, you know. And so I thought the anvil of God's word, for ages the skeptics' blows have beat upon. Yet though the noise of falling blows was heard, the anvil is unmarred. And the hammers of God. The anvil is unmarred, and all the hammers have gone. Down through years, men and women have attempted to destroy the Word of God. They've attempted to discredit the Word of God. But today in 2018, we still have the Bible. Millions of copies in many different languages across the world. We may ask ourselves why. We're going to look just at very quickly at a number of reasons why I think the Bible is still with us. It, of course, it's God's word. It's inspired by God. Trent, in that word from the prison, he said, I read the Bible and I couldn't put it down. He said, I've read other books, but there's no book like the Bible. There's no book like the Bible. And that's true. There are millions and millions and billions of books in our world today. And just, there's no book like the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16 says simply, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, when we say some of these things, especially when we come to inspiration, we're not talking about the King James Version. We're not talking about the New King James Version or any other version. I believe that God's word is inspired in the original documents. And down through the years of men have attempted to translate, whether to English or German or French or otherwise, yes, they have made mistakes. And in our modern translations, even the King James, there are mistakes and there are errors. Not regarding the main doctrines of Scripture, but there are grammatical errors and things like that. A lot of them. Someone said that in the King James Version alone, there's over 700 errors. And then people get into arguments over these things, and I have no intention of doing that this afternoon. And because I don't think it's worth it all. So it isn't. The Bible in its original documents was God-breathed. And the Apostle Paul said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's what's known as in 2 Peter 1 and 21, the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. All Scripture, God breathed, the word that God brought forth to be written down on the parchments of that day, were given to men by God himself, by the Spirit of God. Someone has talked about plenary verbal inspiration. What simply means is all the Bible in its original documents were God-breathed. And every single word that God gave these men. God used their characteristics. He used their style. He used the background of where they came from to bring the Word of God into the world. But the Word of God given many years ago, it was not the Word of men, but it is the Word of the living God. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of Moses, the God of David, the God of Isaiah, the God of Jeremiah, the God of Paul, the God of Peter, and the God of John, and the God that we know today. It's his word. His word. Wasn't it a Thessalonica, I believe, that people received the word not as the word of man, but as the word of God. And so the first thing I think we look at when we say in times like these, you need his Bible because it is God's word. It is breathed by God. He's given it to us. And someone has listed said, if it's not the word of God, then we can and we must question a number of things. We must question the authorship of the Bible. If it's not God's word, if it's not God breathed, then is God really the author of it? But think of the accuracy of the word of God. The word of God is very accurate. But if God is not the author of it, if it's not God breathed, then we can question the accuracy and things are said, the reliability. If the word of God is not God breathed by a God who is holy, a God who is infallible, then really, can we rely upon it? Absoluteness. The word of God is absolute. Today we don't live in an absolute world. People can do what they like and so forth. And if you feel that's a good thing, well, it's a good thing. If you feel it's a bad thing, then it's a bad thing. But there's little and few absolutes in the world today. But the Word of God is God-breathed. God is the author. The Word of God is accurate. The Word of God can be relied upon. The Word of God is absolute in its teaching. And the Word of God is authoritative. And that's why I think, you say, when times like these, you need a Bible. What do we hear today? Well, we hear about fake news. We hear about alternative truths. We hear about, well, truth is not really truth. And all these things are coming out. Men are coming out with these tremendous and these ridiculous statements. They are. But the Word of God is authoritative. The Word of God is truth. The Word of God is accurate. The Word of God can be relied upon. And that's why we can take the Word of God and use it. And that's why it needs in a day like today. It's inspired by God. But then, secondly, we find this afternoon that the Word of God is indestructible. It's indestructible. Psalm 119:89, it says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It's settled. It cannot be changed. It will not be changed. And will last forever and ever. Isaiah 40, the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. Are the words of the Lord himself. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. And so we have that wonderful assurance today that this Bible, this word of God that we have today is accurate, it's authoritative, it's authentic. We can rely upon it and it'll never, never be destroyed. All the writings of the great writers, the great prose writers, the great English writers of the past, people like Dickens and people like that, they're all gone. They will be gone. All the great philosophers and the words that they put in writing, they will go on and they will disappear. But this word that God has given to us, his living word, it will never, never be destroyed. Think of the promises of the word, the blessings, the cleansing, the comfort, the deliverance, the forgiveness, guidance, health, mercy, peace, plenty, protection, punishment, reward, safety, salvation, strength, or wisdom. We could go on and on with all of these promises. Those promises will never, never be destroyed. The course says he cannot fail, for he is God. He cannot fail, he pledged his word. He cannot fail, he'll see you through. He cannot fail, he'll answer you. God cannot and will not fail. His promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Think of his predictions down through the years, predictions he made to Noah, prophets concerning the captivity, Daniel concerning the nations, and all concerning Christ. And they've all come to pass. All the prophecies of the Old Testament. Think of the power of the word. Think of this young man, Trent, and I'm not sure if he's young or not, in prison. He was given a Bible by whom I don't know. How he got it, we don't know. But he was given that Bible, he started to read it and receive the power of it. He couldn't put it down until he found that he was a sinner and he came to know Jesus Christ as a Savior. Psalm 126 and 6 says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, says, and bringing the sheaves with him. Or Isaiah 55 and 10, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, and shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall purpose in the thing whereto I sent it. The word of God, it is quick, it is powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And we should be preaching it, because this is the only word that will ever get into the heart of man. You can preach it on many other things. People can talk about many other things, but this word is the only powerful living book and word in the world today that will convict a person of sin, that will touch their hearts, will pull them asunder, and above all will lead them to a place called Calvary. Jeremiah 23 and 9 says, is not thy word like a hammer that bringeth the rock in pieces? And so we think of these things today. We think indeed of the word of God, the promises we find, the predictions and the power and the penetration. It penetrates. It gets inside a heart that is proclaimed and accepted. Think of Paul on the Damascus Road, how Jesus appeared to him and he spoke to him and the word got into his life. The woman at the well and ourselves. When we heard that word, it wasn't the words of a preacher that touched us. It was the word of God that touched us as we heard it and we were brought to Christ. And of course the plan of the word is indestructible as well. The plan, the promise, the prophecies, the provision, and they're all brought together, aren't they? That in this book we have God's plan. Plan for the world, plan of salvation. God is working out that plan. As I say, sometimes we can't understand it. But we stand back and say, Lord, you're working the plan. You've given us a responsibility to live in this world as your people. And that's really what God asks us to be faithful to him and to take his word and use it. But so one day that word will be fulfilled and the end of the story will come. And we know the end of the story, don't we? We're on the victory side. No matter what happens, we know that in that day we will be taken to be with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The word of God is inspired. The word of God is indestructible, but the word of God is also infallible. And that's very important to remember. As I said, today you hear about false alternative truths. You heard about false truths and fake news and all that stuff. But the word of God is infallible. It is truth. The word of God cannot be broken. And it's true from the very beginning. It's incapable of error. That's what it means. It comes from a God who is incapable of error. God is infallible. And the word he gave those men down through the years, it is infallible. It is incapable of error. It will never, never be wrong. And so that's the assurance and that's the confidence that we can take this word and use it. It can never fail in its judgments and statements. It cannot be contradicted, and it cannot contradict itself. 2 Peter 1:20, we already read, but know that first that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy at any time was produced by the will of man, but holy men, moved by the Spirit of God, spoke from God. The fact that God breathes Scripture ensures that it is infallible, for God cannot lie. And so it's perfect, it's refreshing the soul, as the psalmist has said. It's inspired, it's indestructible, it's infallible, and then we find it's instrumental. The Scriptures principally teach the Shorter Catechism of the Westminster Confession of Faith. It said, the Scriptures principally teach what man is to believe concerning God and what duty requires of man. The psalmist took this and he applied it to his life in praise and confidence and protection, purity, wisdom, hope, comfort, guidance, joy, insight, and peace. 2 Timothy 3:14 simply gives us the instrumentality of the Scriptures. It said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It said, the Holy Scriptures which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Yes, as God breathed, and it's profitable for teaching, for doctrine. It's profitable for reproof, showing us what's wrong. It's profitable for correction, showing us how to get right. And it's profitable for instruction, showing us then how we should be living. All of this, and also, of course, it's able to make us wise unto salvation. That's the only book that's instrumental in these ways. No other book is like that. How do we know what God is saying? We find it in this book. What will convince man of sin? We'll find it in this book. What will redirect a person from his evil error? It's in this book. What will direct us how to show how we live? It's in this book. And so the hymn writers put it for us simply. It says, how precious is the book divine, by inspiration given. Bright as a lamp its doctrine shine to guide our souls to heaven. It sweetly cheers our drooping hearts in this dark veil of tears. Life, light, and joy it still imparts and quells our rising fears. The lamp through all the tedious night of life shall guide our way, till we behold the clear light of an eternal day. Yes, the Word of God truly, it is inspired. God breathed. It is indestructible, it's infallible, it's instrumental. And lastly, it's indispensable. Can't do without it. The assembly couldn't run without the Bible. We couldn't live our lives without the Bible. And this world needs the Word of God. The Word of God is not to be ignored. The Word of God is essential of all these things we've talked about. The Word of God is necessary to show to people their need of salvation, to show to people how we should live as believers, and also to show us a little bit about the future. Now, we should not probably delve into that too much, because God has given us perhaps exactly just as much and a little bit that we need to know. And so this lady in her hymn, she said, in times like these you need the Bible. In times like these you need the Bible. Be very sure. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips this solid rock. This rock is Jesus. And this is the book that tells of him. It is his book. It is his story. Faithfulness to the Word of God because of what we said. Billy Yule, a number of years ago, he spoke on that topic, faithfulness to the Word of God. And just three little things he said. When we talk about the Word of God, when we use it, whether it be preaching or just simply in personal study or in a personal witness, he said, first of all, we should interpret it accurately. We should interpret it accurately. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved by God, a workman who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's important. There are many people, and there may not many people, but I think we know some people, they continually take the Word of God, but they take it out of its context. We should be very careful to look at the context of the Scriptures that we use. Why did Jesus use them? Why are they in the Bible? And so on. Because that's very, very important. You know, these cults and other people, they can set up many of their doctrines. But you look at them, they've taken them out of the context of the Word of God. That's important when we present the Word of God. He said you should practice it continually, 2 Timothy 3 and 14. But continue thou in the things that you have learned and have been assured of. And what did he mean by that? I can't remember what he said. But I have suspicion what he meant is, if you're going to speak the Word of God, be sure you live it before others. If you want to speak the Word of God, be sure you live it before others. Let your walk be according to your talk. And that's very important today as well, when we use the Word of God. And then he said, also said, preach it faithfully. To Timothy he said, preach the Word, ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all patience and teaching. And so in times like these, we not only need a Savior. This world not only needs a Savior, but the world needs the Bible. The world needs the Word of God, which can indeed bring the message of salvation to it. It's inspired by God. It's indestructible. It's infallible. It's instrumental. It's indispensable. But then we think it's precious. Isn't it precious? Precious to us. The Word of God. It is pure. It's been tested. And it's permanent. It will last forever. Holy Bible, book divine, precious treasure thou art mine. Tells me once I came, mine to tell me what I am. Mine to tell me when I rove, mine to show a Savior's love. Mine thou art to guide and guard, mine to punish or reward. Mine to tell the joys to come and the rebel sinner's doom. O thy holy book divine, precious treasure. Thou art mine. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful you've given us your word. May we indeed look upon it as being precious to us. It is the revelation of thyself to us. It is the means by which we've been brought to have a knowledge of salvation by faith in the Lord Jesus. And Father, indeed, it's our manual. It's our manual for living and even of dying. And so, Lord, we pray that we may indeed uphold it, faithfully presenting it to others. Because in this world, which is so many things like, as Paul said in the last days, Father, there are those around us. They have many other things. They've all the luxuries of life. They've all the materialism of life. They've all the philosophies of life. But, Father, they haven't the Savior of life. And so, Lord, we ask that indeed we might bring forth the word at every opportunity. We might present it even in a manner which will be true to it and glorifying to yourself and to your Son. Father, bless us now, we pray, and just continue to be with us in our Savior's precious name.